The Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
Welcome back. We talk about some basketball here, but first, Jason, a little update for you. One of the reasons I love this show is,
yes,
we will we'll always come up with stuff on the fly. So, for those of you over 40, this is Terrence Trent D'Arby's Sign Your Name.
Banger.
I love this song. It stands up, and weirdly enough, I always felt like... It's kind of like some early Pet Shop Boys hits gave way to George Michael and some of his hits. I always felt like Terrence Trent D'Arby was like the spiritual godfather to Hozier. It's a weird connection, but it's there. And I've looked for this song before on Spotify, and Terrence Trent D'Arby isn't on Spotify. He's an artist. It's like Garth Brooks. There's like five artists that are on Spotify. He's not on Spotify. Well,
really?
when I went to Wikipedia, when you and I were just talking about it, in Wikipedia, I didn't really take the time to read it. It says that Sananda Francesco Maitreya, born Terrence Trent Howard, who started his career with the stage name Terrence Trent D'Arby. I didn't put it together. Terrence Trent D'Arby wasn't born Sananda Francesco Maitreya. He changed his name to Sanando Francesco Maitreya, who is on Spotify. And when you look up him on Spotify under that name and you look at his top hits, it's Sign Your Name, Wishing Well. He's taken that over.
Gotcha.
It's like a little switcheroo there. So now I know where to find him. He's still making music. In fact, his last single was April 13th of last month. Has definitely gone down a different road. He did a live album in Osaka in 2020 that's out there. So I went, let's hear what Sign Your Name sounds like. Yeah, it sounds nothing like the original. An artist will do that occasionally where they have a big hit and then they've sung it 50,000 times and they go to shows and they play like, you know, the barnstorming dancehall.com stage.
Yeah.
And they go, you know, I've sung that just way too many times. I need to rethink it. Don't rethink it. Unless you're Eric Clapton and it's Layla.
Mm-hmm.
Or like five other examples. Please don't rethink your songs. Just sing them the way we want. No tricks. Okay. Maybe a couple extra runs here and there.
Whatever you need to do.
Yeah, whatever you need to do, but let's keep it simple, stupid. Anyways, congratulations to the former Terrence Trent D'Arby for being number one in our hearts and minds, as were the Sixers for a lot of Philadelphia fans. This is a fun game. This is back and forth.
It's a good series.
It's a really good series. I wish in some aspects it went seven. But kind of like what we talked about yesterday, Jason, this is a little bit of poetic justice for the Knicks, who should probably have not been playing a game six. This thing should have been wrapped up off that, Tyrese Maxey travel on the four-point play in game five. It did go to a game six. It was back and forth throughout. In the end, the Knicks with some super clutch shooting, including a Josh Hart three. And despite the onslaught from Siobhan O'Heald, 20 points off the bench after doing absolutely nothing in the playoffs to that point. In fact, just to kind of prove the point, folks, game one, zero. Game two, 2 points. Game three, zero. In the first three games, he played a combined 30 minutes, was 1 of 7, 0 of 4 from beyond the arc with 2 points. He comes in yesterday, 21 minutes, 20 points, 4 rebounds, 1 assist, 60% from the field, made both his free throws, and dang near was honestly the main cog in New York almost stealing this game. excuse me, Philadelphia was stealing this game. Did not happen, though.
Yeah. And then, I know for Buddy at the end kind of got some flack for that final. I mean, look, it's a little bit of desperation, but also I didn't think he had the best clock awareness on that.
Yeah, that was a little rushed.
I mean, they might have had not a great look anyway, but there was 3 seconds, not 0.1 when he caught the ball, and he just heaved it at the rim. But they were in a desperate spot already. They'd done a great job of sticking around and staying in that game when it looked like the Knicks were going to get it a couple of times. But, Philly, I know we're going to get into a little deeper dive on them a little later too, but they have one of the most unique off seasons coming up because they've got a ton of cap space.
I think it's Joel Embiid and like one, you know, they're going to resign.
Yeah, it's Reed, I think is, but I think guaranteed, I think it's only only Embiid.
Yeah. When you look at Philly, which weird enough, who would have, Jason, if I had told you that this year, not next year, this year, New Orleans was actually 4 places ahead of Philadelphia in payroll.
I wouldn't guess that.
I wouldn't have believed me. Philadelphia, by far, has the least amount committed. Well, I shouldn't say by far. Detroit has $68 million committed for next year. Philly, $61 million for next year. And of that $61 million, 51 of it is Joel Embiid.
Yeah, and they're going to pay Maxey.
Yes.
And then after that, it's fill the roster in.
Yeah, it's honestly... That's a great trivia question for some people. Tyrese Maxey is actually even a qualifying offer.
Right.
So they're going to have Maxey next year at $6.2 million unless they extend him now. The only other 2 players on the Sixers that are committed to for next year is, as you said, good call, Paul Reed, $7.7 million, and Ricky Council. No relation to Craig, spelled differently. $1.8 million. They have both Reed and Council for the next 2 years. Tobias Harris, Buddy Hield, Nicholas Batum, Robert Covington, DeAnthony Melton, Kelly Oubre, Cameron Payne, Mo Bamba, Montrezl Harrell, Kyle Lowry, who is only making $1.1 million this year, by the way, all free agents. That's a lot of, and coming up in about 20 minutes, we're going to do You Make the Move, the Philadelphia and Milwaukee edition. But I think the focus here is going to be with Philly. They got a ton of players that are going to be on other teams next year. I think the trick there is, but which ones actually have value?
Yeah.
Like, I can tell you this much. There's not going to be a lot of players on Philly this year that are free agents or even more next year. You're going to see a lot of serious pay. Like Tobias Harris this year, in the final year of his deal, made $40 million. I would be shocked if he made even 15 or 20 next year.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to me more of like a, at best, like a 3-year 36 type of dude. Maybe.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you how do you even, I don't know how you even judge this season for Philadelphia. It was so weird. Nick Nurse is still trying to figure his life out there. I get it. Joel Embiid missed a giant chunk of the season, and despite the numbers that he put up late in the playoffs, just still didn't seem himself.
Yeah.
I don't know how you judge it.
Yeah, it's tough to judge, but I think because of his injury, I think that's such a significant piece. You now know that you're developing one in Maxey, right? I think that's nice to know that when they've tried, Harden, Simmons, Maxey feels like a good fit as a second support lead guy for Embiid. So I think you got 2 very good pieces. Now you got to get the rest of the roster to complement those 2.
Did the James Harden thing kind of screw him up a little bit? I mean, that was a very, very early adjustment.
But felt like it needed to be done.
I don't know. Philly really is truly an enigma. But also they have, you would think, a perennial MVP candidate still in his prime. They have one of the best up-and-coming guards in the league in Tyrese Maxey, and who's going to be on a cheap deal next year, perhaps, and just a buttload of money. So that's a real interesting spot for a GM, because not only can they sign whoever is free agents, but look, they can also make some moves too.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they're still
one of the few teams that can do that this summer.
That's exactly right. And somebody texts in as we take a break, and I couldn't agree more. Isn't this a perfect snapshot, though, of Buddy Hield being on your team? Literally the best of times and worst of times for that guy all in one game.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yes.
brings him back, does his thing, and then in the end, he's Carlton tossing the ball and Fresh Prince. We'll take a break. Quick one-minute break. When we come back, three for madness. The Bucks, the Sixers, the Pacers. We have questions about all of them. We'll get to that next.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Three questions, three answers. It's three for madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question one.
All right, coming up next, if we have time, we'll get to Let's Make a Deal Cancun Edition. Philly and Milwaukee are on the docket, and how can any of them help the Kings? But first, before that, it's Patrick Beverley's Garbage Part 2.
Yeah.
The worst part of him yesterday, and we actually got one and another. We got a thing and a quote. So, yes, Patrick Beverley is garbage. That is the theme of today's show. In the meantime, Christopher Ludd, not garbage. He's a fine human being.
Well, thank you.
Hey, you're welcome. It's Friday. We're all in good moods. Three for madness, question one.
The Bucks are gone. Should they run it back or make some major changes?
Bucks are gone. They're gone away.
He's gone.
This is actually one of those teams I think they should run back.
Yeah,
I actually do think they should run back. Sure, make your moves around the periphery, see if you can improve in spots, maybe a contract issue or pick up a pick, lose a pick, whatever. I think this team is very well put together. I think Damian Lillard is a very big personality on the floor, and there's that adjustment. Giannis Antetokounmpo is the star of stars. I love Brooke Lopez at center. What he gives you from three defensively, Chris Middleton is a stud. Maybe fill that two spot and get rid of Patrick Beverley. But even the benches you talked about earlier, Jason, with Connaughton and friends, that's a championship caliber team. I wouldn't mess with it too much.
Yeah, I feel like they're going to be able to get a veteran minimum type player, and that may not sound like that's super sexy, but if you turn that into who are the guys that are bouncing around the league? Well, Kelly Oubre,
right?
If that's Kyle Lowry, if that's Eric Gordon, just different people like that that kind of are bouncing around now near the end of their career. But if it just lands perfectly to go with what's the most important thing, a healthy Giannis with Portis, with Dame, Middleton, like it's still a really good team.
It's a very good team.
So, and, you know, I know he didn't have a very good first run at it in Doc Rivers, but an offseason and a plan, I think you're closer to a title team than I wouldn't break it up. I definitely wouldn't do that.
What about this? Would you fire the coach?
No.
You'd stick with Doc?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Is that a money thing? Is that just a continuity thing? Let me ask you this, Jason. What has Doc Rivers done to keep his job?
Probably nothing in the short term, right? And I don't know the internals of Adrian Griffin. I remember when we had Sam on when that kind of happened. He said he had heard rumbling, like that felt like that was going to happen. So something was... It wasn't a win-loss thing. It was maybe more of a locker room thing.
Sure.
So now it's more of a win-loss thing than a locker room thing, seemingly. But, Doc has a good track record as far as wins in the league, maybe not winning at the most. You know, he's got the one championship. But I think, they kind of have invested in him. And it's, part of that is, do you want to pay Griffin, Doc, and a new coach? Some teams just don't want to do that.
So it is a money thing.
That partly.
I mean, let me ask you this. Let me ask you this way. If Doc Rivers was finishing up the final year of a one-year contract, would you keep him? I mean, maybe you still do. I'm just asking. I just want to take money off the table.
I'm trying to figure out what the options would be for them, what the better options are. I mean, they're an organization that I don't know they know exactly what they want.
Yeah.
Because I think Coach Bud was doing a nice job.
I think so, too.
He was going to get fired, then he won a title. So he got a little bit of a longer leash. Then they lose in the first round, and he's gone. Then you go to Adrian Griffin. We're going to try something different.
Yeah.
Okay, then they didn't even make it a year. Now they're back to an experienced coach.
I wonder if deep down in places they don't talk about at parties, if some of that upper management maybe wishes they had Coach Budenholzer back.
Yeah, maybe.
By the way, where is he? Am I tripping? Where is Mike Boone?
I don't think he's anywhere.
How does he not have a job?
Yeah.
Oof. All right. Number two, Chris Verlon.
Question two.
The Sixers are gone. Just about everyone is a free agent except Embiid. Do you expect them to contend next season?
I don't know that I expect them to contend, mainly because they have so much of that. And who knows? Maybe they keep maybe Tobias Harris resigns for $5 million a year. I don't know. They might retain some of these guys. But generally, whether you're building a super team or creating a whatever, continuity is king. And they're going to have almost certainly a lot of new faces coming in next year. They got to figure something out, and it's going to take a while. Now, when you look just real quick at the free agents, and some of these are player options, some of these are restricted, but you look at names like, okay, Paul George, LeBron, technically. Did Siakam already sign a deal? I don't think he did.
I can't remember,
right?
If he got an extension already with the Pacers.
I feel like he did not, but, feelings and all that, I don't know. Same thing with OG Anunoby, Harden, DeRozan, again, Tobias Harris, Miles Bridges, who we talked about yesterday, Nick Claxton, D'Angelo Russell, obviously Malik Monk. I don't know, man. I think there's a better team to be built around Joel Embiid than what they've had, but it's just really difficult to get that your first year and have title contention type of success.
Yeah, I mean, is that what we're talking about? Contention, like for a title?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I mean, as long as Boston's still around, it feels like that's going to be difficult. Some of these other teams in the East. But when you got Embiid, I feel like you got a shot already. And Maxey's a really good player.
Right.
So if they do it right in the offseason, I can't, and a healthy Embiid, I can't imagine why they wouldn't be in the mix in the East. Again, to the point you made earlier, with Embiid around early on in the season, they were up in that 2-3 range, and then he gets hurt and they're in the play-in. So had he been healthy, they might have been in the Knicks seed here in the 2 seed.
Yeah, that is true. And it's one of those. I don't think they're going to run it back. I don't think that's the same situation as the Bucks, obviously, because everybody's available. But
right.
I do think there's some moves out there that could help them. Number three, please.
Question three.
The Pacers have advanced. Does this mean they won the Halliburton trade?
Yeah, right. Is that the rules?
That's it.
DeMontis Sabonis hasn't gotten out of the first round.
Okay.
The Indiana Pacers just took down the higher seed Milwaukee Bucks, and they have moved on. So technically, the Indiana Pacers have been more successful than the Sacramento Kings since the Sabonis Halliburton
trade. Also, Buddy Hield went off in a winner go home game.
That's true. It's very, very true. Mm-hmm. There's no other context needed at all. It is 100% in a vacuum. Well, that's going to be the narrative. That's fine. I say this with, and there's like that meme where the guy is wearing the mask that's happy, and then behind it, he looks really angry. Like, I legitimately feel this way. Have the Indiana Pacers achieved more team success in a vacuum than the Sacramento Kings since the trade? Yes, of course. Of course. It's undeniable. It's in the East. It's a weaker conference. We could have all kinds of whatever.
Is that because of this series win?
Well, I mean, they have a series. They have a playoff series wins, and the Kings don't. That's all. Yeah. That's just that's just facts. I still wouldn't. I would 100% not revisit that trade.
Yeah,
and I don't. And no way would Indiana either.
Right.
Speaking of Tyrese Halliburton, he will be a special guest on our Patrick Beverly conversation coming up as well. As a matter of fact, we got a little bit of time. I think this is going to fill quite a bit of this segment, so I'll give you a sneak preview. This is Patrick Beverly last night after the game, talking about defending Tyrese Halliburton.
What have you seen trying to defend Halliburton in this series?
Check the numbers.
For him,
I think he's shooting 19% from the three.
Just for him, outside of shooting, just as a playmaker, how have you guys tried to, I know Doc has said, hey, we're trying to force him to his left.
If I gave you the ball for 41 minutes, you'll have 10 assists also.
Just what have you seen?
Wow. Charming.
Classy, even.
Yeah. Just does not want to give him the love.
Look. None of us are professional athletes with tons of pressure on us and millions of dollars on the line that have cameras and microphones shoved in our faces after games. Games in which you just lost in a pretty contentious series with a lot of crap talking back and forth and a massive, massive letdown. I appreciate that Patrick Beverley is competitive. I appreciate that he takes it personally. And also, I appreciate it in the sense that, you know, you hear the whole thing about, like, dude, you guys just lost and you're out there high-fiving and shaking hands and then smiling and laughing with the other team. And, you know, that I'm not going to lie. There's sometimes I wish there was a little bit of Patrick Beverley in our team when it comes to taking losses and being really upset about it and taking it home with you and being grouchy and all that. I can excuse all of that and even kind of respect it. Like, you're pissed.
Yeah.
You don't want to give credit to anyone. I get it. But as the clip we played for you prior, which we will again in a few minutes, will show, and we haven't even gotten to his worst transgression of the night. The reason why for what is this now going to be the second time in 4 years Patrick Beverley's going to start the year on a suspension? Wasn't it 3 years ago where he shoved Chris Paul in the back in the playoffs?
Oh, that was really dirty.
And got suspended to start the season. Yeah, and that was incredibly dirty. You know, I'm sure it won't happen. I hope Patrick Beverley goes on the Patrick Beverley apology tour today or tomorrow. Gather your thoughts. That's
fine. Got to subscribe to the podcast to find out.
Seriously, man. His podcast can kiss my butt. And I like it, too. But it can absolutely butt kiss. And so can he, by the way. And we'll get to more reasons why. We'll recap it all. The three issues with Patrick Beverley from last night's loss. And then if time permits, we'll make a move. Cancun edition involving Philly and Milwaukee. We're back after this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Waking you up with the best in local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sactown Sports.
All right, Patrick Beverley is garbage, and we've been talking about it all day.
And we have proof.
And we have absolute proof. Not once, not twice, but three times.
Look, I found the place your life is going, in the garbage.
We'll start with the from the least to the most. We played this in the last segment. This is Patrick Beverley after the game, giving credit to his opponent, Tyrese Haliburton.
What have you seen trying to defend Haliburton in this series?
Check the numbers.
For him?
I think he's shooting 19% from the three.
Just for him, outside of shooting, just as a playmaker, how have you guys tried to, you know, I know Doc has said, hey, we're trying to force him to his left.
If I gave you the ball for 41 minutes, you'll have 10 assists also.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, you know, but you know, we talked about that. Hey, look, it's a rough look. It's a tough look, but like, okay, you know, you're mad. Get it. Totally get it. But that's weird. Then he was also in the, it seemed like a different locker room situation. He's taking questions. He's sitting at his locker. We also played this earlier. And to his right is a reporter. She's trying to, you know, get her mic in. Just like everyone else, there's several.
Doing her job.
Doing her job is the best way to put it.
Here.
Excuse me, I'm sorry. Yeah. Before I finish.
Yeah. You subscribe to my pod?
Do I subscribe to you? I do not subscribe.
So you can't interview me then. Okay. No disrespect.
Well, Jamal is here.
You subscribe? Okay, cool. Yeah.
He turns to the lady. He turns to the reporter. She's just holding a microphone, like everyone else and says, do you subscribe to my pod? No, I do not. You can't interview me. Okay.
Yeah.
She handles it fine. And then she kind of backs off a little, still has her mic up so she can at least record the questions he's answering from other reporters. She's not trying to ask a question anymore.
Again, there were a couple times within a bucket or two. In previous games, y'all have been able to kind of get over that hump or maybe. Was it anything?
He just, and again, I don't want to be hyperbolic here. He just kind of lightly pushed her microphone away. He didn't shove it. He didn't flip it.
Yeah, but he didn't do that to any other.
No, he did not.
And it's a real bad move. You see this from people when they're like in a bad mood and then they just pick someone out.
Yeah.
And then that's their blame for why everything isn't going right.
That's
like,
exactly
Oh, this isn't on me. This is on her.
It's on
look
her.
What she's doing.
Look at her holding. Look at her standing there quietly doing her job. Yeah. How dare she?
I want to help you guys, but this person is not to my liking. So that's your guys' fault. Sorry.
It's the worst part of modern day athletes and all the stereotypes that go with it. It's one thing that we said it before. It's one thing to be competitive. It's one thing to be in the arena. It's one thing to have mic shoved in your face after a game and you're heartbroken and you're pissed off and I have all the respect in the world for that. That's fine. This isn't that. This is just being a trash human.
They didn't in particular, or was it just one of those where the bucket didn't go down, there wasn't the stop, they made one? What kind of prevented that you all from being able to get over? Kind of like you have in the past.
You'll move that mic, please, or just get out the circle, please, for me, please, ma'am. If you're not subscribed to my pod, I appreciate that. Thank you.
Here.
I mean, at least he's saying ma'am and please, and I appreciate it, right? You know, but no, he, once again, she was doing nothing, and he singled her out in front of the whole room in the most unprofessional way. Now, look, I can tell you where this discourse will go eventually. It's going to go. You're eventually going to have the Patrick Beverly truthers that come up. And I don't know anything about his personal life, but you know what, though? He's a wonderful father. He's a great family man. He's, you know what? That might all be true. I won't
stuff
speak.
That gets labeled to like Draymond.
Right.
Right. A lot 100%. Of people say that.
I'm not here to speak on that. Yeah. I don't know. You can be a great this guy, this guy, this guy, and also be trash.
We're talking about this situation.
This is trash.
Yeah.
This is 100% trash. And not the worst thing he did. I'll let Ernie Johnston and friends explain that towards the end of the ballgame.
Tonight, it appears, we don't know the circumstances, but it certainly appears he crossed the line.
Oh, he hit that lady in the head.
Throws a ball.
I'm going to try to guide you through this the best we can and go in and out. Patrick Beverly is on the Bucks bench, end of the game, time winding down. He grabs a ball, and I assume, you know, there's somebody heckling him behind the bench, some guy, I'm sure. Anyways, he kind of half speed, I would say, a 4 or a 5 on a scale of 10, 10 being a bullet pass. Half speed, throws the ball into the second row, missing the person apparently he was trying to aim for, hits a lady in the side of the head. I'll let Ernie continue.
Ball in the stands, and then he hit the ball back, and he fires it back.
The ball bounces off the lady's.
Can I see the first one? Because I don't remember the first.
Yes.
I always looked at the throwback
the second
to the guy.
One.
Yeah.
It's the first one that's the important one. Okay.
Tonight, it appears, we don't know the circumstances, but it certainly appears he crossed the line.
Boom.
Oh, he
see that?
No, I did not.
Let me show you again. So, sorry, everybody listening. All right. Do you see this lady right there,
okay,
with her hand up. Now, Patrick Beverly has the ball. It's like the Zabruder film.
I don't know
watch
the
this.
Circumstances, but it certainly appears he crossed the line.
Clank.
Oh, he hit that lady in the head.
Okay. Right in the side of her head.
Yeah.
The ball.
He threw that pretty good, too. I mean, that wasn't, you know.
It wasn't full speed, but, you know, 4, 5, 6, somewhere in there. The ball bounces off the side of her face and lands in a male Pacers fan's lap. He then turns to Pat, who's then calling for the ball back. And the fan proceeds to
hey, let's play catch.
Lightly, very lightly, toss the ball back. Ernie Johnson
stands.
He hit the ball back,
and he fires it back.
As soon as the ball gets to Patrick Beverly,
it's like
again,
hot potato.
The guy, like, lightly overhand tossed it to him. Patrick Beverly grabs it and with two hands fires it right back, and I think eventually hit the person he was aiming for.
Oh, he gone. He gonna get suspended.
Yeah.
Man, hit that lady in the head.
That'll be next.
Obviously, he was trying to hit that guy. It don't matter who he was trying to hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can't hit no lady ever.
Yeah.
And then
you can't throw a ball at a fan in the
exactly.
I understand that. But you're like, listen, I've done stupid stuff and you yeah. just and I got criticized. That's just wrong. He gonna get suspended for that. And that's gonna be a good one too. Because he didn't do it once, he did it twice.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
I'll say it really simply. You had his incident with Chris Paul a few years ago that could have seriously injured him. But I'm defending Chris Paul here.
Right.
Could have seriously injured Chris Paul. You're talking two-hand shove, full strength, from the back, whiplash, the whole thing. He's lucky Chris Paul didn't get a neck injury. Either way, you have a previous incident. I don't care about his comments about Tyrese Halliburton. That's perfectly in bounds. It's silly and a little disrespectful. There's nothing. There's
not
nothing.
Suspension
no,
worthy,
God, no.
Like that,
not yeah. even fine worthy. You have his behavior not only to a reporter, but it will matter that it's a female reporter, especially with the image the NBA tries to portray. And then you have this. Now, not only did he hit a woman in the side of the face, no matter how hard, I would be fall off my chair shocked if there weren't if she did not sue him at some point. I mean, come on. Secondly, you did it the second time and you bullet passed it. Here's where it gets a little interesting, a little off the books here, Jason. The team he did it to, the Indiana Pacers. Any history with the Indiana Pacers and crowds and maybe players being involved? Oh, yeah.
Maybe the biggest history.
That was in Detroit. That was the Malice at the Palace. This is how malices at the palaces start.
Correct.
If David Stern were still alive, I promise you this, Patrick Beverley would be looking at a minimum of a 50-game suspension.
50?
50, if not all next year.
No way.
David Stern's alive. No way. If David Stern,
you think
left,
50?
I would bet my house that if David Stern were still alive after what happened to the Malice in the Palace, look, you can say I'm being dramatic here, but the bottom line, by the rule of law, he accosted two Pacer fans.
True, I'm not.
He threw a ball at a woman, not on purpose, still struck her, and then threw it again at a man.
How long did, and now this is going back, so sometimes you get more. I know Ron got almost the full season.
All year,
but. The other people, like Steven Jackson, hit people as well. How many games did he hit?
I don't think
he got 50.
I don't know. And another part of why I'm saying this is that was also unprecedented.
Sure.
The NBA, that is arguably the darkest moment in NBA history. I think a guy like Stern would be like, oh, no, we're never revisiting this. You're gone.
Right.
If Adam Silver gives Patrick Beverley anything less than a 15 to 20 game suspension,
I don't
to start
think he's getting
year,
that much.
Then I would be shocked, and I would be. I think it's a little bit. It's a little
I could
bit.
Be, I could be way off in this. Chris, what's your? I mean, I'd like to hear a third opinion on this.
How many games I think he'd be suspended for the beginning of the season?
Because I'm going to write my number down.
By the way, have you seen it all?
Yeah. I would say 5 games.
No way.
That's the number I wrote. 5.
No way. How many was he? Hold on a second. What's his name? Patrick Beverley.
I mean, 50?
You don't think David Stern would do that?
I don't, but I mean, I could be wrong.
Steven Jackson got 30 games.
30 games.
I mean, and he punched.
And he punched a guy.
Jermaine O'Neal also punched multiple people. And he got 15 games.
Patrick Beverley was suspended just one game for the shove on Chris Paul. You can't do that.
I agree. Fans. I 100% agree.
He's setting the league up for a
5's
lawsuit.
A good amount of games. I know that doesn't. You think?
I'll tell you. This is how confident I am. Remember this: if Patrick Beverley isn't suspended for more than 5 games next year, I will donate $1,000 to the charities of your choices. 500 and 500. I swear to God, that's how confident I am. And I would be so pissed off at Adam Silver. So pissed off at Adam Silver. You can't assault fans twice. You can't assault them once. Now, by the way, we're not even talking about how he behaved in the media room to a female reporter. That alone would probably get him a heavy $25,000 to $50,000 fine for what he did there. Now you couple that with what he did before with Chris Paul. So he's a repeat offender, just like Draymond Green is. And they've said before, Drew Dumars has made this very clear, repeat offenses do matter. Now he has accosted two fans, by the way, in a charged series, in a situation where tempers are high. He has opened up the NBA to all kinds of not just realized lawsuits from both of those. And I'm not saying they should sue him, by the way. I'm saying that's the day and age we live in. She could, I don't know if she's like this. I don't know the lady, but she could be like, oh, my eye, I have headaches now and mental anguish, $30 million. You know, and same thing with the guy. He two-hand passed it to me and it hit me in the right nipple and I can't breathe now. And also the mental anguish and $50 million. But even worse than that. What happens if they're in Detroit or Indiana? Doesn't matter. What happens? It's the fan that matters. What happens if he hits the guy, or what happens if the woman who got hit is the wife of a guy who just loses his mind, jumps over a couple of rows? Now, that didn't happen.
No.
And that's important to understand. That did not happen. But Patrick Beverley's running around with a torch in the middle of a powder keg doing it, singing.
Right. How similar, though, is this to the incident? This sounds like very similar to Draymond stepping on Sabonis. So that's the violation.
Yeah.
Then the ensuing, and you were right there. I mean, the inciting of the, like, Draymond looked like he wanted to fight everyone in the section behind the bench. Now, nothing did happen, but everything you're saying in that same sense about Beverly is what Draymond could have accomplished. Like, it could have been awful. It did not happen that way.
I think it's a great...
And he got one game.
It's a great point to bring up. I think they're similar in scope as far as the situation, the crowd, the violence in the air, all that stuff, right? I mean, that was very close.
Yeah,
one game. Also, though, Draymond Green did not lay in anything on anyone. You can't touch fans.
What if they won that game? What if the Bucks win that game and they're playing Game 7 in Milwaukee? He's obviously getting suspended, but how many games is he getting suspended?
He's probably out. Honestly, he's out for probably, at the very least, I don't know if, I mean, I honestly don't know if Silver removes him for the rest of the playoffs or it's just the next series.
I don't think so.
Would it make a difference in your thought process if he went over and struck a fan in the face with his fist?
Yeah.
The basketball is an extension. Though.
I know that, but I mean, a lot of these things, it is
the
result.
He repeatedly struck two fans.
Right. It's the result, though, of what...
True.
You know, like...
That's a fine line for Silver to walk, because you got to send a message, too.
I mean, in the... okay, this is... I don't even know if it's fair to do it. So the first pass, we agree, was not... it was not acceptable, but it was...
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being a bullet pass, it was a 5. It was a 5.
But does it mean, okay, I'm going to do something extreme, but like in the wrong way, the 5 of a lob, looking the wrong way, maybe you turn, glasses are on, hits glasses, into the, like just something awful.
Right.
But that's the result of, you know, as opposed to, hey, I threw a bullet, the guy caught it. Not in this game.
Yeah.
The intention looked way worse on the other one.
Sure.
But whatever. I think sometimes it is about the result.
This is going to be an interesting one for Silver and Dumars. Yeah. And I put it in that order because I think Adam Silver is going to personally get on top of this. I think, again, if David Stern isn't alive, if David Stern was alive, we'd be hearing about this really, really quick. And I think he'd come down hard on Patrick Beverley. And it doesn't matter if it was in the moment. Now, I'm incredibly interested because I have to mention it because we've seen this in the past. We also don't yet have all the information. Now, what if Patrick Beverley comes out today and says that the reason he tossed the ball at the guy is that he called one of Patrick Beverley's kids a slur. We don't know that.
Right.
And I reserved the right. It's still not justified. But that will add another flavor to the whole ordeal. I know there's some they're going to say, oh, you're over the top, Dave. You're being overdramatic. And they might be right. You can't strike fans.
Yeah.
Repeatedly.
Right. You know, okay, again, extreme example. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong for this. So chicken wing guy.
Yeah.
There's a chicken wing. Kind of funny.
Yeah.
Like, don't do it.
Right.
Never do it. Stupid. But, hey, why would you throw a chicken wing? Harlan talks about it. It's kind of a funny thing.
Sure.
I won't even pick a player. Player on the court slips on the chicken wing
and
tears his knee. And
100%. Like, or maybe okay. other people start throwing chicken wings, and now it's a chicken wing fest.
But some things happen, and that's kind of silly, stupid. Okay, nothing. Maybe the fan's not allowed at a game before. But now all of a sudden a career has ended. Now we're talking about the results of the action.
I would say the difference here is that, A, that was a fan, not a player.
Right.
And, B, that fan's banned for life.
Right.
Okay. You have a player that that struck by the letter of the law, struck with a flying object. I mean, we can go round and round. It's going to be very, very – if it's five games or less, I'm out a lot of money then. But that would floor me if it was five games. Floor me if it was five games or less. Because I think you got to send them.
Here's another weird one just because I thought of it. So, Kings win the championship. First time ever. Woohoo! In Sacramento. Go nuts. Sabonis says the ball. Yeah! And just launches it airborne. And it, by letter of the law, hits a fan, wasn't paying attention to it.
Wait, hold on. Isn't there precedence for this? Didn't this happen this year with the Kings? Was it a Kings player? Or didn't somebody throw a ball into the stands this year kind of like that?
Well, generally, they get fined.
And I think there was a fine.
Right.
Yeah, I think there
was. Just because of maybe something like
that. Yeah,
yeah. Like people like Rodman's kicked the ball into the stands out of
frustration. I think intent to a point matters, but I also, and I don't know this. In fact, during the break, I'll see if I can't. I know somebody who would know this answer. I have a feeling that in that case, it's one of those, like, incidental, like, whatever. I mean, it's an interesting question because it's also in the heat of the moment.
Right.
It's just like Patrick.
It's a celebratory toss, but
I do think there's some sort of a blanket waiver that we all as fans sign going in that you agree. Like, if a player lands on you courtside, if when you sit that close, there's a waiver there that it indemnifies the team. I just don't know if this, Matt, this counts.
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. It's a good conversation. When we come back, hey, let's make a deal. We got Philly out. We got the Bucks out. Can any of those players help out the Kings? We'll get back right after them.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The only place in the morning to get your sports fix.
Live and local.
The Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
We get any feedback, by the way, on the 15 games, your list? People agreeing with you?
Let me
see. Too much, not enough?
From the text line, from the 209 four-game suspension. Also from the 209, or no, excuse me, Rob Dibble hit a fan in center field in the bleachers from the mound. That was a four-game suspension. I actually think that was before the Malice in the Palace, too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
It was Wembanyama threw the career high ball into the stands and got fined. That's what what I was thinking about. From the 916, the problem I have with this whole thing is that he threw the ball. That shows intent. Yep. Also from the 916, Dave, it's a basketball, not a grenade. And look, don't get me wrong. I'm not advocating for lawsuits. I'm not saying, you know, I was almost kind of making fun of it. It's just the world we live in, and I'm trying to, you got to think about it. The people that levy the punishment are the suits in the boardroom in New York. You have to think about it from their level. What kind of legal exposure and damage exposure does this, not just the reputational exposure, do they have to fans that, I don't know these people that got hit by the ball, but looking for a payday. Hey, I was just there. I didn't say anything. I was looking for a good time. I don't know if anybody's ever been hit in the face with a basketball before, but even lightly tossed, it's a basketball. It doesn't feel great.
Sure.
So this woman say, I suffer from migraines and I'm seeing double and I went to the doctor. That's just the reality we live in.
Right.
And the NBA has to protect themselves from that, which is why I think this is going to be a lot more of a tough fine and suspension than, you know, maybe some people think.
Chris, weren't you saying to me in the break that Beverly did tweet something about this?
Did he?
Yes. I actually have it right here. He tweeted.
Should have thrown it harder.
He tweeted, not fair at all. Exchange between a fan and our ball club all night. We warned and asked for help all night. Not fair.
Yeah, okay.
Then he, yeah. After that, he said, but I have to be better and I will. Pray hands, heart.
Uh-huh. Okay. That's the apology, right?
Yes.
Look, not that it would justify it, but I expect there to be more. Again, were the fans heckling the players all night long?
And they would know if they asked security.
Right.
Or people to, but, again.
Also, what was the heckling? Was right. it, you stink, or was it F, S, C word, yeah. other words?
Slurs.
Slurs, yeah.
I don't know.
And again.
Still.
Look, let me get dramatic here.
But would that change your suspension limit? If it can be confirmed that it's as awful a thing that could be upset.
Right, because that's what I'm thinking. Let's just put it out there. If the guy that the worst thing you could think of would be that the guy, unless Patrick Beverly has some sort of tragedy in his life that the guy picked up on and was heckling him about, if the guy called Patrick Beverly the N-slur, that's the worst thing I can possibly think of. I think it creates a stronger conversation, and there's going to be a very relevant conversation if that happened. I think the Pacers in the NBA, this is how it would go. The Pacers in the NBA would then interview the fans. They know who they are. They have records.
Oh, yeah.
They'll interview the fans around. They'll try to confirm it. And if it's confirmed by eyewitness accounts, well, then there's going to be a lot of heavy heat that comes down on the Indiana franchise and their security team. Why was this guy not removed immediately? Now, if you watch the rest of the tape, the guy was eventually removed, but we don't know if it's just, again, because basically you have any interaction with players like that, you're the one that's going, not the players. It doesn't matter. And maybe they thought him throwing the ball back at Patrick Beverly, which it obviously was not a violent act, was a violent act. Again, if you watch the video, he two hands, like as soft as you could throw. And Patrick Beverly was calling for the ball.
Yeah.
Like you'd throw the ball if it landed in the third row and you threw the ball back at the ref. It was like that. There was clearly no intent whatsoever. But in the end, I think you'd have some pressures to, hey, look, you can't, these athletes are humans too, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
None of that justifies violent acts or aggressive acts in which, look, again, I'm using the term by the letter of the law. You struck multiple fans, including a woman who had nothing to do with it, in the side of the face when she was not looking. There, and you brought up, I think it was a great point a couple of years ago. You brought this up off the air. It was a Kings in Charlotte, I think, yes. And a pass went over someone's head and just absolutely biffed a lady right in the face. Time. It was like looking at her phone. Yeah. But no intent. That's part of being in a game. Again, it's like if a guy dives for a ball and lands in your lap and breaks your hip, that's, you don't have a recourse there.
Yeah. So I always get a little bit, not that there can't be older people or people with injuries coming in, but when there's small kids in the front, I'm like, oh man, small kids.
That's always that's always tough. All right, we will. We went long in the last segment, so we will take a break here. When we come back, we'll do it like this, Jason. Let's combine these. We'll do a Bucks postmortem, and as part of that postmortem, let's see if there's anybody on the Bucks that would make sense for the Kings. The real interesting one would be coming up at 8:13. We'll do the same thing for the 76ers. We'll look back at their season, and then also with 98% of their team being free agents, see if there's anybody there that can help us as we get into the second half of a Friday show for you right here on Sacktown Sports.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.